ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् नानुवर्तयतीहयः अघायुरिन्द्रियारामो मोघं पार्थ स जीवति Sukrishna gave very, very clear answer for one question asked by Arjuna. I think Purushottamji, immediately after one or two classes we met here, you had emailed me an answer. You had asked him for an answer. Isn't it? I kept quiet. I didn't reply because my classes will answer you. So many hours of answer, understand now?
Yeah.
Of course, same, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happened when we start studying Vedanta, immediately questions will come. But that is why we have to listen for a length of time, and as you listen, all the queries which come, these questions wouldn't have come before you heard the Shastram. Questions come only after you listen to the Shastram. And those queries you should keep aside, and when you listen continuously, they'll be resolved. They'll be resolved. How? They'll be answered. Adi Bhautika Tapa can be in any form. Isn't it? So that's why Krishna's Arjuna asked, why I should do karma? Why do you ask me to do karma? Why do you want me to be active? Why do you want me to do my duties now? You know? Because this question itself comes an ignorant person, aviveki, the person who does not know what moksha is, who does not know moksha being the ultimate choiceless end, you know, the person who cannot ask, aviveki cannot ask. See, the discriminate person, the viveki, first level viveki, is the one who has purushartha nischaya. So here, the thing is, aviveki, the person who does not know, does not have purushartha nischaya, one who does not know what the ultimate end is. We saw in second chapter, vyavasayatmika buddhihi eka, avyavasayinam bahushakaha anantaha. I mean what? For the indiscriminate people, ends are many. For the discriminate person, end is one. How? Artha, kama, dharma, all are what now? Relative ends which serve as means. Isn't it? End is only one. Moksha. Isn't it? So this one must be very clear. Only he must be a mumukshu. And he also knows what that moksha is, something to be discovered in the form of very reality. Therefore, knowledge itself being identical with moksha also, he must be very clear. He is a jignyasuhu. So, mumukshuhu, one must be a jignyasuhu. You know the word jignyasuhu? One who is desirous of knowledge means one who knows the value of knowledge. Knowledge of the reality itself being moksha must be very clear. Such a viveki alone can ask for what? Jnanam. But same person who asks for jnana may not have clarity regarding what? Why he should do karma. Understand? That is where the question comes. So an ordinary person cannot, a person who does not have purushartha nischaya at all, cannot ask about it. Ask for this question. I want moksha, I want jnanam, I know moksha is chastless, and why do you ask me to do karma? Kim, gore karmani kim maam niyojaisi. Isn't it? So Krishna has to give a big answer. Long, even if you have purushartha nischaya, only if you have purushartha nischaya, you can really live this life properly. Understand now? The life becomes, life is lived properly. Life becomes lived properly only if you have Purusharth Nischaya. Without Purusharth Nischaya, even if you live the life, that life is not lived properly, really speaking. Really. Purusharth Nischaya must be there, then only you live your life properly. The life lived properly will prepare the mind for Jnanam, thereby you can live a contemplative life. So, Purusha, without Purusharth Nischaya, you get what I'm saying? Purusharth Nischaya, being definite about the end being moksha, and that moksha is in the form of knowledge, must be very clear. Only then life becomes lived properly. Isn't it? And even for the Purusharth Nischaya is a must. Then, how one should live one's life? Without living a life, living one's life properly implies what? Living one's life doing actions, doing activities. How it should be done, isn't it? So the two lifestyles, first he talked about Karma Yoga lifestyle and Jnana Yoga lifestyle. Jnana Yoga lifestyle means living a contemplative life, isn't it? That implies mind always remaining with them. Attrition of the mind, remaining with oneself, remaining with the reality, remaining with the self, is a contemplative life. Isn't it? That is possible only if a person is already, now mentally, he has certain composure, mental poisonous is there, composure is there, and he also knows what to contemplate on, and naturally, the relaxed, quiet-minded person, he can be in contemplation. Till then, one has to live a life of Karma Yoga. And he explained later on what is living a life of Karma Yoga. Isn't it? That even the what he has already explained in the second chapter, he brought in here. Samattam Yoga Uchyate, Yogaha Karmasu Kaushalam, Karmanyeva Adhika Rahate. No, those verses. He then sang Yogastaha Kuru Karmani, Sangam Tektva Dhananjaya, Siddhi Siddhya Samobhutva, Samattam Yoga Uchyate. No, all these verses, Ishwarpana Buddhihi. In doing karma, you should prasada buddhi, in accepting all situations as prasadam with sameness of mind, and understanding this fact, all the results, all the situations, pains and pleasures, all the paths of opposites, which can be reduced to what? Two things as pain and pleasure, and which are desirable or undesirable. No, those things can, no, they all come and go. Agama apayana, they come and go impermanent. Oh, what's the fact about these situations? No, all results, fruits of actions. And second thing, they're ordained by, you have no say over anything, because this is, even though you have charge over actions, once you finish doing, whatever comes is determined by the natural law, and law is Ishwara for us. There's no Lord sitting somewhere, anywhere. No, but Lord is in the form of the very natural law and order. Therefore, law ordained is Lord ordained. This fact also, if it's understood at least, remembered, then you can look at everything as prasadam. Once you can look at it as prasadam, you can accept it with sameness of mind. Without prasada buddhi, acceptance of anything with sameness of mind is not possible, which is a yoga. Samattam yoga vuchyate. And to be able to have samattam is a big thing. There's no karma yoga without having samatta buddhi. Samattam yoga. How to accept everything with sameness of mind? Whatever comes in life is the same for me. It doesn't agitate me, means what? It is, no, it may, you know, I look at both as, not without getting elated, without being depressed and rejected, remaining the same in all situations, which is yoga, isn't it? That is possible only if you look at it as what? Prasada. Samattvam is possible if there is attitude of seeing everything as a gift from the natural law and order, the Lord. And that can be, that is possible only if you can, if you know the fact that this, all the situations are, you know, determined by the natural law and order in keeping with what? The past karmas. Isn't it? Nobody is responsible for this, or what I'm going through, that understanding. So this law and order ordains means law and order is Ishwara. So this prasada buddhihi, with reference to all the situations, and Ishwara arpana buddhihi, in all our own activities, you know, And then also above all, discretion action, you know, being very cautious, very prudent before doing any action. Of course, all the actions we do are what? We do only in keeping with our needs and desires. We won't do something meaninglessly, purposelessly, no, without having any purpose, without having anything. Whatever we do, there's a purpose behind what we're doing. Isn't it? Action itself implies what? The purpose being there. Now, the agenda being there, anything you do, there is something you expect out of it. That is why Shastan does not say do the action without expecting a result. Definitely do everything. In fact, your doing itself is far expected for a given result only. But do it, isn't it? But before doing, have discretion whether those actions, for the sake of fulfilling those desires, for the sake of fulfilling those needs, the actions you need to do, you know, may be in conformity with dharma, may not be, may go against dharma, then be careful. No? There you use your willpower, there you use your knowledge of values and refrain from the wrong and do the right. That capacity, that strength, you know, being able to choose to do the right, avoid the wrong itself is what? Discretion action, that is yogaha. That is the only way your actions become governed. This is what we understand, tattvabodhaya shamaha. Understand now? Having shamaha means what? Having mastery over one's ways of thinking means thoughts can come, any thought can come, any number of desires can come, any thoughts can come. But in expressing those desires in the form of actions, either through speech or in the form of activity, I should see whether I am going to offend, whether my actions go against dharma. Understand now? Whatever I do, express myself, express. Expression of my thoughts. Okay, desire. It can be desire, not really simply wanting something, buying something. Any thought which comes that gets expressed in the form of activity. What activity? Either oral activity or physical activity, isn't it? That activity is done. Any activity is what? No, for the fulfillment of some desire, some urge, some need, isn't it? Those activities are they? Those activities, what will they result in? No, if I do something, that may, whether that is against dharma. What is against dharma? Anything which causes, which hurts the feelings of others, no, which causes physical wounds, or which really will hurt a person, if it involves anything which affects the dharma. Understand now, the universal law and action, the universal law and order, the order, then dharma, universal values, then I refrain from the wrong. I don't do knowingly anything wrong which will offend others. Understand now? It's not only that, any activity. So if any action is against dharma, you have to refrain from the wrong. That is what is refraining from the wrong. It needs a great, tremendous amount of strength and clarity and then tapas. No, one has to seek, pray to Bhagavan in order not to do a thing which will hurt others. Know that we have to take care of it. Definitely we have to take care of it. You know, that is what is karmasu kaushalam yogaha means what? Having discretion in action. So before, see that my actions do not go against the universal values. Now these are things, convert my actions into yoga. So dharma governed activity, anything is done becomes offered to Bhagavan. If the purushartha nischeha is there, now I'm living this life for the purpose of accomplishing the end, ultimate end called moksha in the form of knowledge of the reality. Until then, whatever I do becomes what? Offered to Bhagavan. Isn't it? So all my actions are in conformity with dharma. Then in the meanwhile, whatever comes in life also what? It is not the present actions, present result. Even the present actions, present situations become instrumental for, you know, triggering the past karma phalam which is coming there. So ordained by natural law. So law is Ishvara. Accept this with sameness of mind as prasadam. As prasada buddhi. This is what is karma yoga. A life lived like this becomes lived properly. That is how one becomes, one has antakkarana shuddhi, antakkarana naishchalyam. This helps one to, what now? to live a life of Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga life is a preparatory and Jnana Yoga life is for the prepared. Two lifestyles Bhagavan mentioned as a first answer, as an answer to his first answer to his question. So that is his answer. What's that? You have to do karma in order to prepare yourself for living a life of contemplation. One answer was given. And later on, he continued further saying the same in the context of the karma yoga. He said how living a life of karma yoga itself becomes what? Life of worship, yajna. Understand now, you don't need to do any special worship. Like living a life of karma yoga itself is what? Living in harmony with the universal law and order. If you live a life of karma yoga, unknowingly you are living in harmony with universal law and order. Thereby the living of karma yoga itself becomes yajna worship. In that context he also explained what is yajna, what is worship. Isn't it? He said worship is worship really, living, make converting one's life into life of worship. The person who is worshipful is merely a religious person. But here the person who lives life karma yoga is a spiritual person who is also religious. In the sense, isn't it? There he also reminds us of the significance of worship. A worship is a shows how sensitive and alert a person is. Because to be worshipful means, being worshipful means being, being able to relate to all the phenomena as devatas. Naturally from his devatas. And when you look at Bhagavan being manifest as the devatas, you don't look at every devata separate, you don't separate anything as something. Everything is expression of divinity, everything is devata, everything is Bhagavan. All the phenomena, you know, everything that seer is Bhagavan Ishwaraha. Therefore you understand, there is expression of your acknowledgement of how much you are blessed by these devatas for your happy and peaceful life. All that you need, your food is from the nature, your shelter is from the nature, your clothing is from the nature, all that you need to live your life, you take from the nature. You take everything, you extract and you dig and take everything from the nature, and that is, therefore you acknowledge, if the devatas do not give, your life will be miserable. So you acknowledge how much you are given. You know how much you are given, so far away, wherein you express your gratitude to devatas, you know, acknowledging their contribution, because you cannot return anything back to devatas. Even if you are returning, even if you are giving back something, you are only returning what you have taken from them. That returning also is what? Now you cannot give as much as you enjoy. You need to say token of your expression of your gratitude to those, to Bhagavan and of devatas for their contribution. That is worship. And that karma also is a will-involved karma. That thereby what happens now, you are very sensitive, you are very alert, you conserve, you don't waste, and you are very eco-friendly. You are friendly with the, what now, you are living in harmony with the universal law and order, natural law and order. That is also yajna, isn't it? So karma, living a life karma yoga itself is a yajna. But again he says in this context, he also tells you what is yajna, what is worship, isn't it? In that context he also talked about the worship as an act of offering. In Vedic rituals, the whole karma kanda prescribes lots of rituals wherein the ritual itself is what? The ritual, the yajna, is a fire ritual when it is performed, through the fire you offer oblations. But the fire is said to be the havir book, eater of the oblations, one who carries the oblations to the devatas, different phenomena. That is our understanding. And so we offer, even that is not a meaningless action, that the significance, the spirit behind the cultural form is what? Worship. Expression of one's gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of devatas, acknowledging the contribution of those devatas, not simple contribution, abundance of contribution of devatas for our, you know, peaceful and happy and then life. Therefore, that is worship. So, therefore, there's a culture that we always offer oblations. So, through the act of worship also, what now, you propitiate devatas, and devatas propitiate you in return, because worship is not a mechanical, meaningless action where you relate to something, the bundle of energy or a matter, inert matter. Really, it is what now, worship is a meaningful action. It's a will involved karma, wherein the prayer also is there, which is, we also say it is a will involved auto suggestion. So you pray and say, now as an action, it is very, very effective. So devan bhaveta te devaha vaha bhavayantu, they will propitiate you in return. Parasparam bhavayantaha, if you are friendly with the eco-friendly, the whole ecology will be friendly with you, the entire phenomena will be friendly with you. So that what now, once you are friendly, you enjoy their goodness, they enjoy your goodness. Parasparam bhavayantaha param shayaha vapsita, then you are peaceful, means what? You will. It is easy for one. See, there is no way of being relatively peaceful and pure mentally to have a meditative disposition of the mind, you know, without having any friction with the nature. Understand now? If you have any friction with the nature, you cannot have peaceful life. Okay? How to avoid friction? How to avoid prick in the mind, isn't it? So, this is prick cause should be avoided, friction excel should be avoided, for which dharmam chara. Dharmam chara. Understand now? That is the only thing, that's why ahimsa paramaha dharmaha. Have that one as the non-hurting is the absolute value for us, exalt of the values. Based on that value, follow other values also. Then you are eco-friendly person. You are living a life, in tune with the harmony with the universal law and order. Then definitely you will be peaceful, adequately, relatively peaceful and steady. So you don't need to ask for contemplative disposition of the mind. Without understanding this lifestyle, even if you go pay hundreds of pounds and thousands of pounds and go and sit in a quiet, calm, dark room where some modern music is played and somebody is holding attention and taming you like how the dogs are tamed in dog school, even then, what will happen? Once you come out of the meditation hall, you will be restless. As long as you're inside the hall, you'll be peaceful. You seemingly peaceful, okay? You will be peaceful as though. Once you come outside, you will be same agitated person. So the real contemplative disposition of the mind, you cannot buy with the money. Understand now? We cannot buy with the comforts we enjoy outside. Our Swamiji always says, you can have a nice UFO mattress, but you won't be able to get a sleep. You can have money, you won't be able to buy things. You may have food, you won't be able to eat food. You may eat, you cannot digest. You may have library full of books, you can't read one book. Even if you read, you can't understand anything. So what is the use of these things? Understand now. This is what is the problem. You cannot buy meditative disposition of the mind. We cannot purchase meditative disposition of the mind. That only Bhagavan, you can only tap Bhagavan's grace, anugraha, anugrahena vina na shantihi, shantim vina na sukham. Understand now, there's no sukham without shanti, there's no shanti without Bhagavan's grace, and Bhagavan's grace is possible only if I live a sensitive, alert, conscious life, a life of not disturbing the universal natural law and order. Understand now? Understand. That is why we are very flexible. Even though disciplines are very, very important. Understand now? Ahimsa, when you take it as the paramaha dharmaha, and that is where the flexibility also comes. Now, you had to, how flexible you are, the flexibility should be in keeping with my commitment to ahimsa. Understand now? So here, that is what is dharma. So that we saw Krishna, Arjuna, Krishna made very clear. He talked about the significance of worship and how worship also what now? In the context, he said, what is worship? No? And then if you live a life of karma yoga, then whatever you get as a result of karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, whatever you enjoy, that becomes what? Yajna system. They enjoy, so those people who enjoy whatever they gain, you know, living a life of karma yoga, they call it yajna sishta ashnaha. Such people will be definitely liberated from all the kilbisha, sarva kilbishaihi muchyante. We saw that. You know, otherwise, and that is the only way, living a life of yajna, living a life of worship. And he said, yajna is a ishta kama dukh. You can fulfill anything with that, isn't it? Ishta kama dukh, can pray and worship and can get everything if you live a life of karma yoga. What is that possible? Living a life of dharma can get anything on for one. Can get artha, kama, dharma, moksha for everything with commitment, with the conviction, commitment to dharma. If you live a life of karma yoga, everything you can get. We saw ishta kama dukh, we saw that also. Then this yajna is, so karma yoga lived properly, you know, as a yajna, it can, because what? We also saw this worship itself can get you everything. Yajna sishta ashnaha, that is ashnaha santaha sarva kilbishaihi muchyante. Otherwise, that is only way you become a contributing consumer. See, all of us are helplessly consumers. Nobody can say, no, I'm not a consumer at all. There is no such thing. No, nobody is. Everybody is a consumer. Understand now? A contributing consumer, non-contributing consumer. Okay? Understand now? Mere consumer. You can say that. So here, by living a life karma yoga, you are not merely a consumer. You become a contributing consumer. Understand now? That is the only way you can tap Bhagavan's grace. That also Bhagavan is presenting in the context of talking about yajna. Do you remember all of them? All those things? Later on he said, come on. No, why it is a must for one to live in harmony with the universal law and order? Because as a human being, as a part of the universe, when you live as a part of the whole, part and parcel of the whole, the universal law, natural law and order, the most responsible living creature is you. Because you're endowed with the half knowledge, I am, you know you are, you know what values are, you know how others should behave with you, you also have the faculty of choice, the free will. Therefore what? Definitely you have more greater responsibility of living in harmony with the universal law and order. Why? Because it is the whole thing is within the realm of the order. It is within the realm of the wheel of dharma. Dharma chakram. Understand now why here? Because there's a connection. You are interconnected with the entire universe. You are not isolated. Okay, you are connected. You had to live a life of dharma choicelessly because for you to get food, the shelter, all that you need if you want, all the phenomena must be how? All the phenomena must be functioning properly, must be in their order. Isn't it? Everything must in its own order. How it should be, how your heart should be functioning, you be functioning. If there's any disorder, it affects your health. Like that, how your own organ should be in proper order. Similarly, the health, the good condition of the whole jagat also is what now? The order must be maintained. Understand now? The order should not be what now? Disturbed. If the order is rubbed against, order is disturbed. If there is disorder, that's disorder in the order. If you are responsible for your own smallest, your action responsible for, of course, so many people contribute, okay? But still, your responsibility also is there in causing the disorder in the order, then that will reflect on your mental disturbance. Understand now how it shows? Why we do not even understand, you do not see the connection. Why? That is why the whole order, that is why the whole system is there. And that he beautifully, he present two verses. This human being is born of food, sustained by food. Okay, until the last day, last breath, it's serving on food. And once it falls, it becomes food for other, manure for other beings, food for other beings. Born of food, sustained by food. No, annat jayate, annena na jivati, anne liyate. Understand now, it becomes food again. Therefore, this is born of food, and for this, where do you get the food from? Food is from the earth. And how does the earth, Mother Earth, yield food? The form of vegetation, it is dependent on the rains. How do you get the rains? The sun must be there. Bhagavan, we saw last class, Aditya's prakashena, Aditya's anugrahena, you get the sunlight. So sunlight must be there. So for you to have adequate quantity of sunlight, adequate density of sunlight, you need to have what? Must be in proper function, proper order. Isn't it? So, for that to be there, for the earth to yield food, no, for us to have everything. So, then you must be living in tune with the harmony with all the devatas. How can you be in harmony with all the devatas? How can you be friendly with all the devatas? What is your contribution? Sun contributes, no, wind contributes, earth contributes, space contributes, air contributes. All of this phenomena, no, Vriksha Devata, Vana Devata, everything contributes, and even mountain, no, Parvata Devata, all of them are contributing in their own way. Understand now, for us to live your life, what is your contribution back, you know? First, don't rub the order. Understand now, first live, okay, don't go beyond the territory. Understand now, live, enjoy everything. The whole Jagat is given to you for your enjoyment. The whole Jagat is for your enjoyment only. Isn't it? Everything is available for you. But at the same time, see, without going, transgressing dharma, going against dharma. Understand now? There you draw a line, boundary. What is your line? Now, that is what? That is, you know, you cannot compromise with what? No, going against dharma. No, you cannot compromise dharma. Dharma, choicelessly one has to follow. That is how, because the whole, everything has to be in order. If you don't want to be responsible for causing disorder in the order, then you be conscious and be cautious of your not transgressing values. Understand now? Not only you don't cause disturbance, not only you follow dharma, you also acknowledge their contribution and be humble and show your reverence to them through the act of offering, which is worship. Understand now? So what is the way? Just living a life, karma yoga is first easy worship, easiest worship, isn't it? That's the only way you are very close to Bhagavan. How can you live near Bhagavan? Understand now, you are every fraction of time, where your mind is, there you are. Understand now, you are living near Bhagavan if you are conscious of dharma. Understand now, then in that nearness will prepare your mind for jnanam, wherein you understand the distancelessness between Bhagavan and you. That's a culmination of worship, living life karma yoga. Isn't it? So all these things we saw. And last verse he said, evam pravartitam chakram yaha na anuvartayati. This is the order. Bhagavan says at last, yaha na anuvartayati. This is how the dharma chakra, the wheel of dharma is moving. The one who does not follow this wheel of dharma, Bhavan is the hottest place in UK, okay? So, one who does not follow this, evam pravartitam chakram na ayaha na anuvartayati. Now, evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati hayaha sahagayuhu. Bhagavan says agayuhu. My God, if a person cannot be sensitive, cannot be alert, cannot be sharp, cannot be friendly with the devatas, cannot live in harmony with the universal natural law and order. Now, if he is going to disturb the order, he rub against the order, then what? If he violates the law and order, then his life is a waste. he is not going to accomplish anything. According to Bhagavan, it's a waste. Aghayuhu, whole lifespan is what? It's a waste. Life is, you know, aghayuhu, life of sins only. The whole lifespan is lived what? The sinful life. Aghayuhu. Indriya Ramaha. No, he is, Swamiji says, Masal Dosa Priyaha. Indriya Ramaha means what? All he lives his life enjoying sense pleasures. He cannot see better pleasures. Okay? And you may think, no, leave alone moksha, leave alone fullness, leave alone the greatest thing, no? Even he cannot even have cognitive skills to appreciate better, you know, better pleasures, isn't it? And he'll be more with what? Very, very gross. Now he live a very gross life with the gross understanding, with the just he'll be engrossed in sensory pleasures, enjoyment of sensory pleasures. Aghayuhu Indriya Ramaha. Bhagavan's there. He says like that. Bhagavan says that. Okay, very very ordinary person. Aghayuhu Indriya Ramaha. Indriya Rama. That's he's also Bhagavan, but Bhagavan just wants to tell us. Aghayuhu Indriya Ramaha. And saha mogham jivati. Mogham jivati. But he lives waste. He lives, whole life is a waste. Why? One who rubs against the order is the life he becomes lived wasted. Indriya Ramaha saha mogham jivati. Mogham jivati. So having said that, Bhagavan finished. He thought he has said more than enough. Bhagavan is going to start again fourth chapter, but in this chapter he thought, okay, it's enough now. Let me stop for time being. He didn't want to make Arjuna feel bad, okay? He has said enough. See, what is this? Yaha, once in the Yaha, Yevam, Pravartitam, Chakram, Yaha, Na, Anuvartayati, one who does not follow this wheel of Dharma, one who does not live a life in conformity with this universal law and order, one who is not in, you know, here, without questioning, one's will must be surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of Dharma. Where is your will? You don't abuse your will, you only use your will. The using of one's will properly means avoiding the abuse of will, isn't it? You avoid abusing your will. How? The will is used carefully always. How? That is only way you have surrendered your willpower to Dharma means. Surrendering one's willpower to Dharma means whatever I do are not in conformity with my personal likes and dislikes, my own whims and fancies, but whatever I do is just in conformity with Dharma. Of course, they are done for fulfilling my desires, but still they are in conformity with Dharma means will becomes surrendered. Surrendering one's will to Dharma, surrendering one's will to the order, surrendering one's will to Bhagavan is what? Relative Sharanagati. I told you long ago, there's no other Sharanagati. Understand now? That's only way you follow the chakram. Evam pravartitam chakram, evam eva anuvartitavyam. Understand now? This is how the chakram has to be followed. Otherwise, if you don't follow, then aghayuhu indriya ramaha mogam jivati. Understand now? He lives in vain, waste. He said that. Then, having said this much, Bhagavan goes to the next topic. You know, hey Arjuna, leave alone karma. Ajnani is doing karma. The Ajnani, who has Purusharthan is Chaya, who knows moksha is the ultimate end, who knows the value of knowledge, therefore who has to have contemplative disposition of the mind, for which he can't tap Bhagavan's grace, for which one has to have pure and steady mind, for which choicelessly one has to live a life of karma yoga, which itself is what? Life of worship. That's fine. What about jnanis? Even after having gained jnanam, one has to do karma. Look at this. Until jnanam, you have to do karma. Isn't it? After jnanam also, what will you be doing? As long as prarabdha is there, as long as you are alive, you have to be doing karma. What is the difference? Before jnanam, you do it with kartrutvam. After jnanam, you do without kartrutvam. That is the only difference. But still, you will be doing. Before your activities, will is involved. Now, isn't it? There is no will, just Ishwar Arpanam. Just all the activities just take place. And those activities will be definitely for the well-being of the society. One reason. And second reason, it is for always, even after Jnanam, Father Ajnani, for him to make efforts to become a Jnani, to live his life properly, you have to set an example. For that sake also you have to do karma. Isn't it? Because human beings are always hero worshippers. That's the problem with the human mind, isn't it? Therefore, you have to always be set a best example of a hero also. So you have to do karma. So even as a jnani, one has to do karma. But before that, he's saying, the jnani does not need to do any karma. Until jnanam, one has to do karma. As after becoming a jnani, one does not need to do karma. But still, a jnani will be doing karma. Understand now why I should do karma. He will again, Arjuna, ask the question. Will he ask the question again? No. He would ask again. Now he said, no. Until jnanam, one has to do karma. Or after jnanam, one does not need to do karma. You know who does not need to do karma? He may do karma. He need not do karma. And a jnani does not need to do any karma. Why? There is nothing to be accomplished. Nothing to be fulfilled. Nothing to be attained. Why? For a person of fullness, one who has the ascertained vision of fullness is the person of fullness. For the person who revels in fullness, you know, so person of fullness is a person of accomplishment. And what is there for him to accomplish? Anything he does, anything he is going to accomplish, achieve, that is not going to add to his fullness. It will not make him bigger than what he is. There is no need for a jnani to do anything, but still jnani will be doing karma. That he is going to say later on. Now he is going to say, who does not need to do karma? Understand now? Is it clear now? He is going to talk about the jnani.
Yastvatmaratirevasyat.
I'm going to sum up again after finishing the chapter. You will see that. Do you get the points now? Easily.
Yastvatmaratirevasyat. Yastvatmaratirevasyat. Atmatriptascha.
Come closer like this.
Atmatriptascha manavah. Atman yeva cha santushtah.
Keep it like that. Tasya karyam na. You keep it for you. I'll just take it up. No.
Tasya karyam na vidyate.
He talks about a jnani. Hey Arjuna, you ask me, you don't want, why should you do karma? I've explained to you why you should do karma. But now you know who doesn't need to do karma? A jnani. Karyam na vidyate. Karyam means to be done action. To be done action is not there. Karyam na vidyate. There's nothing to be done. For whom? He says, Yaha Atmaratihi Evasyat. Atmaratihi means what? One who revels in oneself. You know what? It's very, very fashion. It's nice to say this word, reveling in oneself. What does it mean? By saying one who revels in oneself means what? One who rejoices in oneself, one who delights in oneself means what? One who is not dependent on situation or people or anything external thing, success or failure or accomplishments, achievements for one's happiness. He is the one who revels in oneself. This is a question always comes. Atmaratihi. Atmani ramate iti atmaratihi. Atma ramanaha, atma ramaha, atma ratihi. Ramanam is a neutral gender word. Ratihi is a feminine gender word. Now ramaha is a masculine gender word. All of them mean what? Reveling in oneself. Okay? Reveling. Ramanam means reveling. So one who revels in oneself is means what? Atmaratihiva or Bojanaratihiva. You have to see. Bojanaratihi, Bojanaramaha. In Tamil, he says Apatraman. Okay? Bojanaramaha or Sukharamaha, Atmaramaha. We say that, no? Music Ramaha means what? One who revels in music, one who forgets, the whole Jagat will be forgotten means what? No, that means the music will be Music Ramaha. Music Ratihi, no Krida Ratihi, no one who, no person cricket Ratihi. Isn't it? Bad, you say that football ratihi. Like that people are different ratis. Isn't it? But here atma ratihi. Yahatu, who indeed is atma ratihi. One who revels in oneself means what? One who does not require anything for his happiness or fullness, for his security. Is atma ratihi. Yahatu atmaratihi evasyat. Again, the syat only added just to adjust the meter. Yastvatmaratire vasyat. Then atmatruptascha manavaha. Then triptihi. Triptihi is satisfaction, contentment, isn't it? But again, atmatruptaha again is a satisfied. One who is satisfied with the self means what? One who has total self-acceptance. No, the relative's self-acceptance, and because one who knows absolutely what the self is. Therefore, the atma triptihi is, the triptihi is impossible with anything. Paravishya triptihi, we can never say paratriptaha. You know why? If you say something makes me feel satisfied, that tripti will be relative tripti that will go. Time-bound triptihi. If anything which makes you feel, anything other than the self makes you feel satisfied, the food you eat when you're hungry, after you feel satisfied. That is why you went to go and then wash your hands, okay? And then, how long the satisfaction remains? You watch something, you enjoy any pleasure, you feel satisfied. See, immediately after enjoyment of something, you feel full because you can't take more. That is the limitation of your mind also. The mind has limitation, body has limitation, no, the pranas has limitation. Anything you enjoy, how much can you enjoy? How long can you listen to music? 5 hours of music, okay, classical music people love. There are people who can live the whole day in music. How long? Still you have to get up to go to loo and then drink water and eat food and all that. Without food, somebody asks you to sit and listen to music for 10 days. Can you do that? Nadopasana. No, impossible. It's not possible, isn't it? Okay, cricket playing. Ah, nice snacks and all crisps and things. People take a Coca-Cola and all those things, Pepsi. You can go and sit there and you'll enjoy cricket. Somebody is playing and you watch that. Can you sit without any food, anything? How long can you sit? How long can anything make you please? No? Any object of pleasure, any pleasure, anything? No? That triptihi you have is what now? No? Is it? It's a time-bound tripti, isn't it? That is atriptihi. Whenever tripti goes, my God, that will result in atripti, dissatisfaction, which is a pain. Know that now? Any tripti, you get from anything other than the self will be what? Time-bound tripti, which will result in atripti. Understand now? Dissatisfaction. But if you discover the self and if you revel in fullness, discover fullness as the very self, then that tripti will be everlasting tripti. Understand now? Then you will never become dissatisfied. Satisfaction you gain as a result of reveling in the self will help you remain satisfied with everything. Therefore he says here, Atma Triptaha. You are not dependent on anything else. Atmaratihi eva atmatriptaha. This is what is real contentment. Understand now? People say, be contented. It's impossible for one to be contented until all one's efforts culminate in discovering fullness. There will not be contentment at all. Our Swamiji says very clearly, if at all somebody is contented with something what he or she has, that is lazy, this person is a lazy person. Understand now, there's not real contentment. Understand now? Or some sort of, understand now, lazy or there's no real, some sort of dullness about the person. Really speaking, it is not possible for one to feel content at all. The real contentment will be only in reveling one oneself. Therefore, Atmaratihi, Atma Triptaha, one who is satisfied with the self, one who has discovered the total, absolute satisfaction. Isn't it now? In discovering, in remaining, reveling in oneself. Atmaratihi evasyat, Atma Triptaha, then Atmani Santushtaha, Atmanyeva Santushtaha, he is happy himself. Santushti also means tripti only. One meaning of santushti means tripti, satisfaction. Santushtaha means, Atmani eva santushtaha means, he is happy in himself. That means what? He is not dependent on anything external for his happiness. Why? Because nothing external can make him happier than what he is. Because any happiness he gain, anything that he any pleasure, in anything which he gets from outside is only a fraction of his own self. Understand now? For him, the self is fullness, and any pleasure is what? Fraction of all his swarupam only. Therefore, the one who revels in fullness, he won't be dependent on fractions. Understand now? I tell you, even I told you last time also somewhere, when you are given, you know, whole of London for you, why should you ask for one room in Bharati Vidya Bhavan? Not necessary, isn't it? The whole of London is given to you. And then why do you want one room in Bharati Vidya Bhavan? Isn't it? Like that, the whole fullness, the person of fullness will not be interested in fractions. Because all the fractions are what? Include in his own fullness. That is why Atma Triptaha, Atmani Santushtaha. For such a person, he is a man of fulfillment, man of accomplishment, man of fullness. He is one who revels for him fullness, happiness, limitlessness, and Chaitanyam Brahma, and the self are not many things. They are all one and the same. Not only but one and the same. Happiness is the self, fullness is the self, limitlessness is the self. No, for him, that Atma Swarupam, everything is the self for him. And therefore, he is not dependent on anything external for his happiness, for his satisfaction. Understand now, he is the one who revels in oneself, and he is the one who has the greatest luxury of reveling in knowledge of the self. For such a person, karyam kimapi na vidyate. What is there for him to be done? If at all you do something, you do it for something. Always we do something for something. When nothing is required, what is there for him to do any karma? If you do something, if you ask, why do you do this? I do it for this. You will immediately give an answer. There's a purpose. Whenever you do something, there's a purpose why you are doing. And here, for him, there's no purpose. There's no need. Understand now? No desire. We saw in second chapter already. Tasya karyam na vidyate. Is it clear now? Let's look into the Bhashyam. Yastu, yahatu, yahatu, yahatu means what? Whereas he who sankhyaha means what? Samyak khyanam yasya saha sankhyaha. No, samyak khyatihi yasya. Khyanam means vi akhyanam. Khyanam means clear knowledge. So samyakhyanam yasya saha sankhyaha. One who has clear knowledge, clear vision, one who has doubt free vision is, you know, sankhyaha, the wise person, a jnani. Jnani, he says, Shankara gives, what's the meaning here? Atmajnana nishtaha. Atmajnana nishtaha. See, Atmajnane nishtaha. See, Atmajnana nishtaha means what? One who has steadfast knowledge of the self. Steadfast knowledge of the self means what? he has no doubt about the self being pure consciousness, and that consciousness being only reality, and the only reality being all pervasive, indivisible, partless whole. That consciousness being the self of all the beings, that consciousness being the only reality. Other than that consciousness, everything else is just the mithya. There's no nothing as independent existence. Isn't it? Such an understanding is what? Atmajnana nishtaha. Okay, one who is not just steadfast. Atmajnana nishtaha. Then, some people may try to... See, Atmajnana nishtaha means one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge also can said to be Atmajnana nishtaha. But here, Atmajnanaya nishtaha, Jnane nishtaha. You have to say the two meanings here. Is it like Atma Jnanaya Nishtaha means what? Atma Jnanaya Nishtaha means, Jnanartham Nishtaha means, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But here it cannot be Atma Jnanaya Nishtaha. Atma Jnane Nishtaha. Understand? Big difference. Why? We are talking about the Jnani here. You Atma Jnana, understand? So therefore he says here, Atma Jnane Nishtaha, not Jnanaya Nishtaha, Jnane Nishtaha. The translation has to be corrected. Anyway, one who has steadfast knowledge of the self, one who remains steadfast in the knowledge of the self, isn't it? That is the big difference. Because why he is talking about now? Already Bhagavan talking about, Shankara says, who? Man of knowledge, isn't it? The person of great vision. Doubt-free vision, Sankhya, isn't it? How can you say two different sentences here? The person of vision must be the one who has steadfast knowledge. Sankhya, Atmajnana Nishtaha. He says, then Atmatrittaha, say now. Atmaratihi.
Atmaratihi
means what? Atmaniyeva ratihi. One who revels in one's own self. That means what? Na vishayeshu. Na vishayeshu. Na vishayeshu means not in external objects. See, generally, ordinarily, what do people do? People always revel in. Revel means what? They try to forget themselves by having pleasures, by focusing their attention in something or the other. Isn't it? They need some objects to hold on to. They need music, they need dance, they need food, they need socializing, they need companionship, they need talking, and then they need to watch television. Something, to do something or the other, in order to what? They're all vishayaha. All something or the other, if you the mind needs to hold on to, lean. When I come in here, there's no space to sit down, okay? I need some space to sit down. Like that, the mind needs something to hold on to. Isn't it? Something in the mind needs to hold on to. When mind is holding on to something, then there is no pain. For length, as long as the mind can be with that, the mind has no pain. That state of mind is called what? Pleasure. Then that mind is said to be what? Vishayaratihi. Is it clear now? What is Vishayaratihi means what? Vishayaratihi means the mind which revels in external objects, which tries to have some pleasure through and so leaning on the external objects. Emotionally leaning on external objects, the mind tries to be happy. Mind tries to have some pleasure. So it's natural for the mind. Until one gets exposed, it's very natural for any human being. Nobody's exception here. Every human mind is leaning on some object or the other, some action or the other, something or the other. Is it now for to keep one in good humor? Always trying to keep one in good humor by leaning on something or the other, by doing something or the other is what now? Then you call it Vishayaratihi. Whereas this person, the jnani, is Atmaratihi. Atmanirathihi means what? One who revels in oneself means one who is self-dependent. Okay? One who is not dependent, one who is independent of external things, one who is self-dependent, one who is emotionally independent is what? Atmaratihi. Do you get what I'm saying? Atma, Rati, he means emotionally independent he is and self-dependent. First, you have to have dependence on things, external objects. From there, our Shastram tells you now, come on, turn your attention from external objects and then place attention on Bhagavan. Understand now? So, Vishaya Ratihi should become what? Bhagavad Ratihi. Bhagavad Ratihi should become what? Self Ratihi, Atma Ratihi. Understand now? When you discover the self, you resolve Bhagavan, the Jagat in yourself, you are self-dependent. Understand now? Therefore, Atma Ratihi means, Shankara makes very clear, Na Vishayeshu Ratihi, Atma Ratihi. One who is not dependent on external things for his happiness. Then, Bhavet Atmaratihi Evasyat Bhavet Atmatruptaha. You know? Cha Atmana Eva Triptaha. Atmana Eva Triptaha means what? Again, satisfaction also. He is satisfied by himself. Again, he is not dissatisfied with self. He is again independence only. Triptaha. His na annarasadina.
Annarasadina.
See, is annarasadina. Annarasadina means what? Annarasaha means the food. No, satisfaction. If people always complain, always dissatisfaction. If there is no satisfaction here, everything outside will be dissatisfaction. You want perfection, perfection. Sometimes more perfect and more perfect and more perfect. Nothing wrong in wanting to be perfect and trying to do things more perfectly. Nothing wrong. But always dissatisfaction is not with things external. Dissatisfaction with oneself alone gets expressed in the form of dissatisfaction with everything else external. Everything external can be satisfactory if there is satisfaction here. If there is no satisfaction with the self, okay, then everything will be, even satisfactory things also will be what? Dissatisfying. Understand now? Therefore, they'll never satisfy you. So he says, annarasadina. And that is, now, food does not make one feel satisfied. Drink does not make one feel satisfied. Music and dance will not make one feel satisfied. That they feel bored with the local then pleasures. They also try for heavenly pleasures and Vaidikas. People who know about this, see, you should know about. Now, if we don't know, how will you aspire for heavenly pleasures? If the way they discuss the Ramba, Urvasi, and dance and Gandharva singing and all that, and you will, I want to go there also. Okay, and then all the advertisements what now trigger your passion for all the things, and you go for you. See, they trigger your passion. Already passion is there. They don't need to create passion, okay? They will trigger your passion. And the passion is there. And you will go. Then what now? For what? Rasaha. Understand now? Triptihi. Tripti. There's no tripti. See, go everywhere, hunting things. And then there's no triptihi. When triptihi? Atma triptihi. Atmana triptihi. Satisfaction being just being oneself. Satisfaction being by oneself, being oneself. Atmana triptihi. Then saha manavaha.
Saha manavaha.
Manushyaha.
Manushyaha.
Manavaha, manushyaha. All means say one who has mind, one who has thinking capacity is the manushya and manava. Isn't it? Sanyasi.
Sanyasi.
Atmani evacha.
Atmani evacha.
Santushtaha.
Santushtaha.
He is santushta, he is happy with self, himself. Santoshaha hi.
Santoshaha.
Bahyarthalabe.
Bahyarthalabe.
Sarvasya bhavati.
Sarvasya bhavati.
See, when something you get newly, then you become happy. Isn't it? Any gain from external, by gaining something external, you become happy. You have some pleasure. Isn't there always pleasure in gaining something desirable? Something desirable when you gain, it's a pleasure. So, bahya artha labe, gaining something external, is always pleasure for people. isn't it? Whereas for a jnani, he is not dependent on gaining something externally for his happiness. Why? Tam anapeksha means what? Without recurring to dependent on anything external. Understand now? Without having a need to depend on anything external, atmani evacha santushtaha means what? He is happy himself. Veeta trishnaha means what? Vigata trishna, yasmat saha veeta trishnaha. One who is free from completely desires and passion. Totally dispassionate person.
Iti etat.
Okay. Yaha yidrushaha atmavit. The one who knows the self. Yaha, what one who is of this sort of a wise person. Look at this, he says, Yidrushaha means what? Not the one you are thinking. This sort of a person. Which sort of a person? Yidrushaha. Kidrushaha. Yidrushaha purushaha. Yidrushaha jnani. Atmavit. Yidrushaha atmavit. This sort of a wise person who knows the self. Who is free from the hold of disease. Who is not dependent on the external for his happiness, who is happy being himself, who is content with himself, one who revels in oneself, such a person, yaha asti, tasya purushasya eva, only for him karyam karaniyam na vidyate, there is nothing to be done for him, ityarthaha, otherwise, one has to do karma. Is it clear now? Now Arjuna, Bhagavan says, having said all that, why should he do the karma? And he presented, come on, I am telling, only this sort of a jnani doesn't have to do anything. Now you can tally whether you fit in within this, the characteristic features of a jnani, then you also don't need to do. He doesn't say you are not a jnani. See, this is what is a vatmavit. Yidrushaha means what? Not babadrushaha. Understand now? Not like you. Yidrushaha, not... Listen, get the put it. Twadrusha, Bhavadrusha, not like you. Yidrushaha jnani. Atma triptaha, atmani santushtaha, atmaratihi. Understand now? See, nobody really speaking. One who is self-dependent. One who revels in fullness. One who discovered self. One who has shifted his eyesense from body, mind, and complex cognitively, not physically. Physically, you cannot shift eyesense from body, mind, and complex, okay? As long as you're alive, because you have to say, I need to go to loo, I need to eat, I need to drink, and all that. So there's no physical shifting of eyesense from body, mind, and complex is not possible. But cognitive shifting of eyesense from body, mind, and complex is possible. To what? To the awareness as the absolute reality, as the knower, isn't it? You can shift it, but then naturally from the standpoint of that I being understood as pure consciousness, where is the doership, where is the enjoyership, and where is atripti? Isn't it? The aham buddhi goes, then naturally all atripti also goes. Atruptihi, dukkham, ashantihi, all these things are possible only as long as identity is with the body, mind, and complex. Isn't it? Not only that, the dependence on external things also is possible. Bahya vishayeshu, bahya raseshu, the dependence also is possible. Here in jnanam, there is independence. In ignorance, there is dependence. Where there is in jnanam, where there is independence, then nothing needs to be done. Is it clear now? Tasya karyam na vidyate, yetadrishasya yidrishasya ganinaha, to be done karyam nasti. Listen now, to be done action is not there. Therefore, naiva tas, he continues with the same thing about a jnani. Naiva tasya krite nārthaha, naiva tasya krite nārthaha,
naiva tasya krite nartha, naiva tasya krite nartha, na krite neha kaschana, na krite neha kaschana, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, kaschidarthavya pashraya, kaschidarthavya pashraya.
He says, tasya, tasya means what? For him. For whom? For such a jnani, for such a wise person, for such an atmavite, for atma truttaha, atmaratihi, atma santushtaha. These words we came across in second chapter so many times. Atmaratihi, atma truttaha, atma santushtaha, isn't it? One who is happy himself, one who is happy by himself, one can be by oneself, one who is satisfied with oneself, one who is self-contented, one who revels in fullness, one who revels in oneself. For such a person, nothing to be done means what? Even if he does something. Nothing to be done for him, but even if he does something. By doing something, kritena artaha nasti. Even something, this person doesn't need to do any karma at all. Even if he happens to do something, his activity, the result of the activity, the fruit of his activities, really does not add to his fullness, does not make him bigger than what he is. Understand now? He's already reveling in fullness. Remember that verse in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Apuryamanam Achalapratishtam Samudram Apaha Pravishanti Advat Tadvat Kamaha Yam Pravishanti Sarve Hashanti Mapnoti Nakama Kami. In that verse, even if the water rains flow from above and all the waters go from different directions and go and join the ocean, that any amount of water added to the ocean will not make the ocean bigger than what it is. Ocean will be ocean. Reduction of water also due to evaporation of water also will not make the ocean small. Addition or reduction will not make the ocean, you know, something different from what it is. Similarly, this for the man of fullness, for whom this fullness is the eternity, fullness is the self and fullness is eternal reality, which is the self. Therefore, what now? The changeless, beginningless, endless, changeless reality is what? Fullness. Therefore, for a jnani, one who knows that reality as the self, one who is identified with the, one who has identity with that absolute self, for him, what now? Kritena artha nasti. Even if he does something, kritena, by doing some activity also, artha nasti, it will not change him from, not add to his bigness, add to his fullness. Akritena, na krute neha kaschana. If he does not do anything, what will happen? If he does not do something, then achieve anything also, it will not decrease his, isn't it? Decline his fullness. It will not make his fullness. So fullness will be unaffected. Addition or reduction, isn't it? Whether he performs some activity, does not perform activity. Performance of activity and the fruits of activity will not add to his fullness. His non-performance of activity will not, isn't it, make his fullness different from what it is. It will be the same. Akritena artaha nasti. Akritena api cha asya artaha nasti. Doesn't do, he does, doesn't make any difference. Why? For the person of fullness, he's a person of fullness. Is it clear now? Then, asya kas sarva bhuteshu kaschit artha vyapashrayaha nasti. No, vyapashrayaha. You know that artha vyapashraya means dependence. He is not obligated to anything in the world. He is not emotionally dependent on anything, any karma, any fruit, any object of pleasure, any being, any human beings, any beings, anything in the world. Ar sarva bhuteshu kaschita artha vyapashraya. Sarva Bhuteshu, he is not attached to anything. He has to talk about because Jadabharata and Guvar attached to something. Attachment to something is possible. Attachment means what? I told you already. What is attachment? Being dependent on something, some being, some human beings or other things or situations or objects or pleasures for one's happiness is what? Being attached to that. Being dependent on something for one's happiness is being attached. I told you already, ragaha. Isn't it? So, then independent, that's called vyapashrayaha. Understand now? Vyakaschit vyapashrayaha sarvabhuteshu nasti. People are either attached to wives or husbands or children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. India, we have all the problems. Here I don't see such, what tell you, even for 7 generations people are thinking, Pindu puja also, my God, really, even today I do the puja, even as a sannyasana I do. No, because all the families in future, all the children, they should always live this dharma, no? That is a prayer, sannyasa, I do that. Anyway, so it is that sort of attachment, it's not attachment, but I'm saying, the concern should not be mistaken for attachment also. Understand now? I told you many times, when you're attached means what? You're dependent on them for your happiness, it's attachment. But you have concern for them, you have affection for them, be with them for anything emotional they need, that is different, isn't it? Being supportive, morally supportive, and being emotionally supportive, and doing the needful, be having a concern, affection, giving a love and affection is different from being attached. But you depend on them for happiness, then you are attached to them. Isn't it? So here, Vyapashreha, for this jnani, only if you discover fullness in yourself, you become really totally detached person. Being detached means what? Being independent emotionally. Not being dependent on anything external for your happiness is what? He says, Bhuteshu. Okay? You are attached to gardens, attached to flowers, attached to how you maintain trees and how... All sarvabhuteshu, understand now. Oh, I love this. I want to have this, my thing. So attached. I want this. This is what I want these things to be. See, having nice garden is good, but so attached. People are attached to so many things. And our Hali is so attached to her poncha and daffodil. That's also what? No. That is also bhuteshu vyapashreha means what? You're so dependent on some being or the other for your happiness. If you don't, you are not dependent on human beings for happiness. You are dependent on, attached to other beings for your happiness. Isn't it? I'm not saying it is wrong, it is natural. But once you, until you discover fullness, this attachment is natural, I'm saying. See, either you hold on to this. Which is not here, you hold on to something else. Same, this is sarva bhuteshu. Jnani is not looking for anything to hold on to. Understand now, he is not ready to, he has no hooks to go and put anything on, okay? There is no emotionally getting hooked is not possible for a jnani. A searching for hooks also is not possible. Why? Completely independent person. Understand? So emotionally, he is arthavyapashrayaha tasya nasti. Kaschite arthavyapashrayaha sarvabhuteshu nasti. He doesn't need to do anything. Understand now? So kritena arthaha nasti, akritena arthaha nasti, sarvabhuteshu arthavyapashrayaha kaschite tasya nasti. He has no dependence at all on his part, on anything external for any of the beings. For his happiness. Okay? Na eva.
Na eva.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Paramatmaratehe.
Paramatmaratehe.
See, he is Paramatmaratihi. Atmaratihi is what? Paramatmaratihi. Then don't think there's something called Jivatmaratihi. That's not true. Okay? Atma. Say now. Atma means what? All pervasive self. The self is the only thing which is all pervasive. Understand now? The all pervasive self is said to be Atma. And there is no reality other than the all pervasive self. Therefore, what we say here, the absolute all-pervasive self is what? Parama Atma. There's only one Atma, there's only one Vastu, and that Vastu is what? Paramatma, absolute self. Paramatma Ratihi means what? He is not Aparatma Ratihi. What is Aparatma, Paramatma? No, Anatma Ratihi, Atma Ratihi. Anatma Ratihi means what? One who is dependent on body mind's complex for his pleasure and all that, then he is become what? Anatmaratihi. One who is dependent on external things, he is anatmaratihi. But so, bahya visharatihi. But atmaratihi is what? One who is dependent on the absolute self. One who revels in the self, the absolute self, paramatmaratihi. Paramatmaratehe, for him, for the paramatmaratihi, this. Kritena karmana, kritena, say no?
Kritena
means what? By action. Karmana. Arthaha means in this context, prayojanam. Use. Isn't it? Prayojanam, Sanskrit, you know that any language in some India, you know what prayojanam means? Use. Isn't it? Arthaha nasti. Literally, arthaha means wealth, arthaha means money, arthaha means asset, arthaha means security, arthaha means anything you seek for security. Isn't it? Any infrastructure you need for living this life is for artha only. But here artha means what? Prayojanam. Karmana prayojanam nasti. Understand now, na comes in the beginning. For this paramatma ratihi, for the one who revels in of the absolute self, na krite karmana artha prayojanam nasti. It means what? If you do karma, what will the karma do? Karma will give you a result. A result will be what? Pleasure. Isn't it? Pleasure or pain. Ultimately. Isn't it? Gain. Artha or kama. What will be the fruit of action? Either artha or kama. Either of money, wealth or name, fame, popularity or pleasure. Isn't it? So that is what? No. Or even the right actions of punyam also. Artha, kama, dharma. Karma phalam will be artha, kama, dharma only. Not moksha. That is of no use for him. Why? Artha kama dharma is for what? To live the life, isn't it? Why should you live the life? To know the self. Why should you know the self? To revel in fullness. Now he is already reveling in fullness. So the purpose of living this life has served is served. So for him, the karma is of no use for him. Is it clear now? Therefore, astu. Have you got what I'm saying? Astu.
Astu.
Tarhi.
Tarhi.
Okay, that's fine. Then he says, akritena.
Akritena.
Akaranena.
Akaranena.
By non-performance, by not doing something, by inaction. Okay? Being inactive also. Pratyavayakyaha anarthaha. See, in Shastram, if you do not do what is to be done, definitely you will end up doing what need not be done or what should not be done. Why? That is the nature of matter. Matter is always chasing you to do something or the other. The matter, nature of the matter is that you should be doing something or the other. Therefore, better you think something to do before, so you do something, plan and do something. If you don't do that, you will end up doing what? So you can do what is to be done. If you think before you do, at least you will know what to do and you can do what is to be done. If you don't do what is to be done, you will end up definitely helplessly doing what should not be done. Then if you do what should not be done, it will produce what? Pratyavaya doshaha. So avoiding one's own sadharma will result in pratyavaya doshaha. It's a papam. It's a name given to some dosha. Okay? Pratyavaya dosha will come to you. It is said. So now here he is asking, akaranena, for everybody, you know, people, suppose our ajnan is, no, hey, come on, better do your duties, okay? If you don't do what is to be done, you end up doing what should not be done. Now, what's the papam then you'll incur? You'll incur the papam called pratyavaya dosha. Pratyavayam nu oru paavam vandrum. No, he, you will get pratyavaya, he says. You will get pratyavaya. So that dosham is for whom? For ajnanis. But he, Shankara says here, for a jnani, pratyavaya dosha will not be there. If a jnani does not do any action, he will not have pratyavaya dosha. He will not incur any sin. Okay? Non-performance of actions will not affect his fullness. Performance of action will not add to his fullness. Is it clear now? Na akritena
akritena
iha
loke
kaschana
kaschana
kaschidapi
kaschidapi
pratyavaya
pratyavaya
prapti rupaha
prapti rupyaha
atmahani lakshanaha
atmahani
va naiva asti. So for a jnani, there is no such thing called pratyavaya papam dosham. So nacha asya
sarva bhuteshu.
No, not only that, sarva bhuteshu, he says sarva bhuteshu in all the beings, there's nothing thing he is attached to in all the beings, he says. He is not dependent on any of the beings. From what? He says, Brahmadi sthavaranteshu. Brahmadi sthavara anteshu. Right from Brahma the creator, he is not dependent on Brahma. He is not dependent on Lord. He is not dependent on anything external. He is not dependent on the Lord also, no. Anymore. Why? For him, Lord also is the self. No, they are not dependent on Ishvara, not dependent on anything external. Nothing. So, even what sthavara anteshu, leave all other living beings. Sthavara antam means what? Even the plants. He is not dependent on any of the beings. He is not obligated to any of the beings. He is not dependent on any of the beings for his happiness and fullness. Sthavara bhuteshu kaschit artha vyapashrayaha. Artha vyapashrayaha means, Shankara explains here, prayojana nimitta. Say no?
Prayojana nimitta.
Kriya sadhyaha.
Vyapashrayanam.
Alambanam. He limits, he explains so many words now. Vyapashraya means what? Vyapashrayanam. Vyapashrayanam means what? Alambanam. Alambanam means what? Support. So, support is what? Prayojana nimitta kriyasadhyaha. By doing some activity, something, some support has to be, you know, attained. So he says, kriya prayojana nimitta kriya sadhya means what? He is not, nothing is of any use for him. That means what? He is not dependent. Alambana means he is not seeking support. He is not seeking security from anything external means what? He is not dependent on anything external emotionally for his security or happiness. Listen now, he is really by himself. He is an organization himself. He is the strength. He is not strong, he is the strength. He is not happy, he is happiness. He is not fraction, he is fullness. He is not limited, he is limitlessness. And then now, he is not dependent, he is freedom swayam. He is swatantraha. Understand now? He is muktaha. He is completely free person. He is a freedom. He is fullness himself. If such a person is not dependent. So, kanchitu bhuta visesham. Bhuta visesham means what? Any living being. Any of the living species. He says bhuta visesham ashritya na sadhyaha kaschite. By being dependent on something, he does not need to achieve anything.
See, you to achieve something, sometimes you are dependent on so many people. Natural, isn't it? In this life, life is interdependence. We are dependent on so many people, we have to take help from so many people to achieve certain things, to do certain things. It is natural, isn't it? Such dependence, isn't it? See, ashritya sadhyaha kaschit. No, there is nothing to be achieved by being dependent on somebody or something for a jnani. Is it clear now? You are dependent on something for what? Somebody or something for what? To achieve something. Isn't it? There is no such thing, nothing to be achieved for him to know by depending on somebody. Therefore, he does not need to depend on anybody for achieving anything. That's called artha vyapasheha nasti. Tad artha kriya anushteya syat. Therefore, look at it very beautifully. He says, he does not need to achieve anything. And therefore, what now? In order to achieve something, he has to depend on some. He has to be dependent on somebody. But now he does not need to depend upon somebody to achieve something. Therefore, what? And to depend upon something, to achieve something, he may have to do something, that he does not need to do anything. To achieve, he need not achieve anything, he need not depend upon anything, he need not do anything. Therefore, what? Tasya karma nasti. Understand? Even if he does not make any, it is of no use. Why? Is not going to add to his fullness already. Is it clear now? This is a jnani. Now, but I think it's doing some simple, small bhashan we can read. It's good for you also to know what it is there, isn't it? Naiva tasya krite nartha. Naiva tasya krite nartha. Na krite neha kaschana.
Na krite neha kaschana.
Na chasya sarva bhuteshu.
Na chasya sarva bhuteshu.
Kaschidarthavya pashrayaha. Kaschidarthavya pashrayaha. So Krishna says now, therefore what? You are not in such a position, Arjuna. What is that position? He says, remember second chapter verse? Sarvata sampluto dekhe. Yavan artha udapane sarvata sampluto dake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanatah. Remember the verse? All the Vedas, all the Shastras are of as much use as of the water in a reservoir full of water in a place of floods. Let it for a jnani. Now he says what now? Natvam yetasmin sarvata sampluta udakasthaniye samyak darshane vartase. You are not in such a position, Arjuna. Tvam na vartase. Hey Arjuna, you are not in such a position. What position? You are not in the situation of place of floods where this reservoir full of water is useless. Understand? You are living in a place where reservoir full of water is useful. Understand now? That is the artha. Bhagavan says now, Krishna uses in Shankara uses in his Bhashyam that Natvam Yetasvin Sarvataha Samplata Udakasthaniye Samyak Darshane Vartase. You are not in that vision. You are not by yourself. You are not revelling in the self. You do not have that vision. Understand? You don't have that vision of self, isn't it? You don't have that vision. Samyak darshane na vartase. Na, he begins with the first letter. Na vartase. Na tvam vartase. You are not there. Where? You are not traveling in yourself. You do not have that steadfast vision, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self. He also uses what now? He says, sarvataha sampluta udakasthaniye.
everywhere water. No, in that place, reservoir full of water will be useful. Okay, for a man of a vision who revels in fullness, nothing is required. Isn't it? Karma is useless. For the man of fullness, karma is resolved in fullness. Karma palam is resolved in fullness. Punyam is resolved in fullness. Papam is resolved in fullness. Pleasure is resolved in fullness. Artha is resolved in fullness. Dharma is resolved in fullness. All discipline is resolved in fullness. All this way, all the shastras, all the knowledge is resolved in fullness. What? Everything is reality. For everything is resolved in fullness. That fullness is the self, Atma for him. For such a person, karma, he need not do any karma. Okay, but you are not a jnani. So you have to do karma. Understand now? Having said that, Krishna has to say what now? Therefore, having given a big, long talk on why Arjuna should do karma, look at this, he is going to say now, therefore means what? Wherefore, therefore means what? You have to stay from the beginning. Now, that he had number one, number two point, he had to write down why you should do karma. Isn't it? He giving all the, we had to sum up actually. We'll sum up this. Really, I want to give a nice summary of this chapter so that you will remember very well and you can really tell your friends also. Now, you should be able to tell. It's very, very important because for young people who live their lives and who have had a lot of challenging situations, they need this. Tasmat, therefore, karma samachara. Now again he's telling what now. First he said, no, yudhyasva. Now he says what? Karma samachara. Karma samachara. May you do your work. Do your duty. Achara itself would have been enough. Samachara. May you wholeheartedly, attentively try to do your duties perfectly. Samachara. May you do well. Don't have any hesitation doing karma. Do karma, go for jnanam. No. Just do karma. Do your duties well. Why? How? When? What karma should do? Karyam karma. Don't do akaryam. Karyam karma samachara. When? Always. Always keep doing what is to be done by you. Satatam karyam karma samachara. But how you should do, that is very important. Asaktaha. Understand, Arjuna, don't have any doubt, tinge of doubt. You should be doing karma. You should be doing your karma attentively, wholeheartedly, well, focused. Isn't it? And what should be doing? Karyam karma samachara. What is to be done? Please do, always, please keep on doing what is to be done. Don't stop. But how you should do asaktaha. Understand now? Why? I have explained to you in the verses said earlier. I have explained to you. Understand now? Tasmat. Therefore. Then if you do what is to be done always, carefully, without being attached to the karma or karma palam, knowing the limitations, then what will happen? If you do that, such a person who does the karma, param apnoti, he attains what one has to attain in life. Absolute moksha. Param apnoti. Bhagavan gives a karma yogi is a kalyana krit. One who lives a life karma yoga is the doer of auspiciousness. Kalyana krit. He is going to say somewhere, nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. He will never get destroyed. He'll definitely attain the absolute end. Understand? Know what is to be done. Know how it should be done. Do what then the way it has to be done. You will attain moksha. That is what living a life of karma yoga. Understand? Bhagavan says we'll end up end here. Tasmadasaktasatatam. Karyam karma samachara. Karyam karma samachara. Asakto hyacharan karma. Asakto hyacharan karma.
परमाप्नोति पुरुषः परमाप्नोति पुरुषः
तस्मात् मीन व्हाट देयरफॉर अर्जुन कार्यं कर्म सततम् असक्तः समाचर विदाउट बीइंग अटैच विदाउट बीइंग डिपेंडेंट ऑन कर्म और कर्म फलम और व्हाट अ गेन टू गेन इज अ फ्रूट ऑफ कर्म फॉर हैप्पीनेस without being attached to any of them, but no, with proper attitude. Understand now? Asaktaha, do what is to be done always. Asaktaha karma acharan, no, doing one's duties properly with proper attitude as yoga, without being attached to the karma or karma phalam, purushaha param apnoti. In due course of time, one will have earned Bhagavan's grace, thereby one will have definitely calm and pure mind, the peaceful mind, thereby he will have contemplative disposition, and that contemplative disposition will definitely help him, bless him with the vision of the absolute reality as the self, therefore one will attain moksha. Purushaha param apnoti. Is it clear now? Purushaha param apnoti. Purushaha param apnoti. The same word for Taittira Upanishad also quotes. Brahma vidha apnoti param. What is it now here? Purushaha param apnoti. One attains moksha. How? By gaining jnanam. How does he gain jnanam? By entering contemplative disposition of the mind. How does he get that disposition of the mind? By having Bhagavan's grace. How does he have the grace of Bhagavan? By living a life in harmony with Dharma. How? He has pure and steady mind. How? He lives a life of Karma Yoga. How? Without being attached to anything, he performs what is to be done. Thereby he attains moksha. Purushaha param apnoti. Katham? Asakti. Taha karma acharan natu anacharan. Understand now, doing karma only attains moksha, not without doing. Therefore, Arjuna, you do your karma. He says, okay, because not late, no, 5 minutes will do that later. Tasmat asaktaha sangavarjitaha. Asaktaha means what? Sangavarjitaha. Okay,
satatam
sarvada
karyam
kartavyam. Karyam means kartavyam, to be done action. Nityam karma samachara nirvartaya to execute. Okay, do your duties. Asaktaha being detached, he yasmat samacharan ishvarartham karma kurvan paramoksham. See, if you do your activities with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, then actions become performed without attachment. Param moksham apnoti purushaha. How? Sattva shuddhi dvarena through the attainment of mental purity. Understand now, you do the karma with the proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan without attachment. Okay, that is what is doing karma without attachment means what? With purusharth nischaya, with visharpana buddhi, when you do karma, then naturally it will result in what? Attainment of mental purity. Thereby, you will be ready for jnanam and you will be blessed with the vision of reality. You will be blessed with fullness, which is mokshaha. Okay, we'll stop here. Now, having said this, how jnanis did they live their lives? Jnanis were doing karma. Okay, so you have to do karma. Now he is going to talk about a jnanis. A jnani does not need to do karma, first he said. Isn't it? Therefore you have to do karma, he said.
you are not a jnani, therefore you have to do, he said. Now he is going to say, even jnanis are also doing karma. Therefore you have no choice about doing karma, do your karma. Understand? He is going to say that. We will see next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.